good to be alive right about now?
Yes.
Some of you are going, not at this moment. Well, happy Friendship Day. We usually call it Happy Friendship Sunday, but we know that it's Sunday, so let's call it Happy Friendship Day. Excuse me while I set up my house over here a little bit. Gotta get this all together. So, how many people here today did anyone bring five friends or more with them? You did, anybody else? Five friends? Will you and your friends stand up, please? Works. Oh, you guys can sit down. Thank you. But you know what? You won. Did you win the last 2 years or just last year? Last year? So this is two in a row. So you're on a roll. Okay. So you get to choose one of your friends to go with you to see Desperate Measures off Broadway. You get two tickets to Desperate Measures. Are you familiar with Desperate Measures? Aside from sometimes we have to take them. Desperate Measures, David Friedman, award-winning show. So call the office on Tuesday and just speak to Zoe and we'll come up with a time that you can go see Desperate Measures. And now that she loves you all equally, I have no doubt, I am sure. So it is Friendship Sunday, and it's also Come Out of the Closet Day. Was that nervous laughter or polite? You know, Ash Beckham, do you know who Ash Beckham is? She is a kick-butt lesbian who did a really amazing TED Talk a few years ago. And she said that coming out, all it really is a hard conversation. That it's a hard conversation. I don't know about you, but I've had plenty of hard conversations. Have you had plenty of hard conversations?
Yes.
We've all been through it. And I put on the front of the bulletin, I asked somebody to put coming out of the spiritual closet, just for clarity. Because we're always coming out of the closet, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes the closet is a very safe place. Sometimes it's a necessary place. It can be that time in the womb that's needed. But it can also be that time in the tomb where we are trapped, where we are scared. I shared a little bit on Pride Sunday. I'm gonna have this little bit of light right here, so I'm gonna stay right here with you all because I'm talking about how dark it is in the closet. Kind of like this. I'm out. Hello. So I talked a little bit about my own journey. I don't want to go into that too much today, but the decades of hell of being in a closet, because I was so afraid that people who loved me would no longer love me for who I am. And it took a lot of work to finally get to the point of saying, that's insane. If people who love me and know me really well have already figured out I'm hiding something and love me anyway, and if they don't, if they're going to leave my life, why do I want them in my life anyway, right? Yeah, it took a long time for me to get to that point. A long time. And the most interesting, ironic thing to me was when I finally got there, it was because I no longer cared if anybody cared. So they didn't care because I didn't create a space to care if they did care. And it didn't matter. But this is really about coming out of the spiritual closet. I know that unity and places like this are very sacred to people. I get it, Attic people, I get it. I was up there for a long time when I first came in. I'm not saying that you're in the closet, because there's light on you and I can see you anyway. But really, do you remember how you got to Unity? Was it something traumatic that brought you to Unity for anybody? Yes, okay, so for both of you, I'm gonna tell you something. My journey to Unity was really when I had hit a very dark place in my life, and I manifested my way to Marianne Williamson, who used to speak once a month at Town Hall. And she had just written Return to Love. And I knew, I went there with a friend, and I knew that I needed that book, and I plugged that book in like an IV. And I started gifting it to everyone as codependently as I could. My brother's like, what the hell's this? Like, you'll find some use for it. My hope was that he would read it. But I started hearing about Unity, and I heard about this Butterworth place. And I was turned off by the whole syrup thing, you know, the syrup people, Mrs. Butterworth. But I finally got there. And a little aside, we had such a beautiful World Day of Prayer service Thursday night. It was beautiful. Our prayer chaplains, you rock. You rocked it. You rocked it. It was gorgeous. It was amazing. It was great. And because all of this is energy, and so many times we have such divine synchronicity and coincidences, apparent coincidences. John Canary, there you are, John Canary. You mentioned Maya Angelou. Love her, Maya Angelou. And you talked about how she is quoted as saying, people won't necessarily remember what you said, but they will remember how they felt. And I had been thinking about that before you mentioned it last Thursday night. And I had been thinking about it in context to today, because when I found my way to Unity, a friend of mine is who really got me there. Her name was Ann Rutter. And there were many days that I would go, and Ann wouldn't be able to go, she'd be working. And later in the day, she'd say, what did they talk about? And it was mostly Richard Barnes. Remember Richard Barnes? Yeah, who was talking most of the time. And every time she asked him, like, I'm not sure. I don't know what he said. But I love that he laughed at his jokes. I would go just to be in that energy. Perhaps some of you are here today like that, to be in this very powerful, sacred energy. And I think I wasn't in a place of being ready to hear it. The most important thing for me was that I had found a tribe. I had found a belief system that said I'm okay. I'm not broken. I'm getting goosebumps. I am love. I'm a child of God. That I was hearing. That I was remembering. And as I kept reading and rereading and Return to Love, they worked in sync so wonderfully for me. And then as time went on, and I would have good intentions of showing up. Not that any of you understand that. But there are so many Sundays I would turn my alarm off and say, man, I gotta get some sleep. I'll get the tape. I'll find out, I'll get the cassette tape. Remember those? And I'll listen later. So I was attending Unity less and less. And then Paul Tenaglia arrived as the new associate minister after Richard Barnes had been gone for a while. And Paul put it in the newsletter, the bi-monthly newsletter that went out, that he wanted to start a professional vocal ensemble. Didn't have a name yet, but he wanted professional singers to submit their pictures and resumes. And of course, Unity was at Lincoln Center. So there was already an air about it. You know, we're in Avery Fisher Hall at Lincoln Center. And Stephen Leahy was screaming fabulous things every week as Paul Triplett played the piano. It was just magical. And my ego said, you are so not good enough to do that. And I said, shut up. Oh my God, I want to do this. And my picture and resume was the very first one that I took to Paul. And Spiritus was born. And I was so excited. I had such a level of excitement above and beyond anybody else that was one of the original members of Spiritus. And that, even though my spiritual coming out was step by step, because I held a lot of this very sacred. You know the concept, the scripture, not throwing pearls before swine? Some things that are very important to us, and we know what somebody's gonna say about it. And throwing pearls before swine is when we share that thing so somebody else can go, this is what I think. And this was so important to me. So I kept it close to my heart, as I'm sure some of you do. And the first time that Spiritus got to sing, oh my God, I was a nervous wreck. And we were singing, this is 1996, and we were singing as a surprise to Eric Butterworth on his birthday on September 8th, 1996. And he was floored and blown away. I don't know that we sounded that great, but he appreciated it so much. And so before I knew it, that was a coming out. It's like, I am now on stage at Avery Fisher Hall at Lincoln Center going, this is my thing. And I was so excited about it. And then I was so excited when I realized, oh my God, the Butterworth judgment thing that I had, I could see the esteem that people had for this man, this Eric Butterworth. He was like the Wizard of Oz. Eric Butterworth, you've been in his office. I have. I even sat in a chair. Yeah. So I got to know this man on a personal level. And it was amazing. So that was a big coming out. That was the, you know, we sometimes come out in steps, sometimes we burst through the door or the veil or the paper. But it was a step-by-step process. But I knew from finding my tribe and from finding that message that spoke to the deepest core of who I had been looking for it for decades and had no idea how to articulate it. I know I had no idea as a kid how to articulate the questions I had when I didn't believe what I was hearing. The judgment and the misuse of the Bible. I didn't understand all that. So how many of you know the story of Myrtle Fillmore? Okay, so a lot of you don't, and I'm going to share a little bit of my version of it, because I think it's important today when we're talking about unity and coming out of the spiritual closet. So let me see how this comes through. Come on, Myrtle. So this is the late 1800s, and this woman named Myrtle Fillmore, school teacher, very bright woman, had been diagnosed with tuberculosis, which was thought to be a death sentence at that time. And she was told to get her affairs in order. She would not be around much longer. She had a family. And she was holding this hope that that couldn't be true, that she wasn't finished. And she ended up attending a lecture in Kansas City by a metaphysician that was traveling the country. His name was E.B. Weeks. And in that lecture, she heard an affirmation. He called it an affirmation, and he said, "I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness." And tuberculosis was thought to be inherited. And she went, "Wow, I like that." What happened from that is that Myrtle learned to pray. She had grown up Methodist. She was brought up Methodist. She had learned to pray in a completely different way once she heard that affirmation and attended that lecture. And she started praying from God within, instead of to God out there, which most people have done and still continue to do, to a power outside of herself. And she took this very seriously. And it took her on her journey of spending deep, sacred time in meditation, in prayer, blessing her entire body, her cells, her organs, her tissues, and this went on for 2 years. Now what had happened was, her neighbors, first of all, she was still around. She was supposed to be gone in a few months, so she was still around. Her neighbors started noticing changes in her. Myrtle was looking good. She had a pep to her step. She was better. Aren't you supposed to be dying? She's like, "No, guess not." And her husband was a very scientific, philosophical man, real estate man. And he had his own issues. Won't go into those today. But he had his own issues. And neighbors started asking if she would pray with them. And they started getting together every night around 9 o'clock around the kitchen table. That's how this started. This woman had such a healing, she had to come out about it. She couldn't contain it. She couldn't keep it to herself. So they would get together around the kitchen table at night, 9 o'clock at first. They had to change it to 8 o'clock because it was a cow town. People had to get up really early to milk the cows. So they changed the time to 8 o'clock. To pray. And then Charles, the husband Charles, noticing what all had happened with her, he went into publishing. So he started publishing articles. So more and more people were finding out about this. And they started praying for people, with people, who didn't have to be present. It was the energy of prayer. And people were freaking out about how this was working, this prayer, because there was a belief in it. So that coming out of Myrtle Fillmore, of sharing what she was doing, thus her husband sharing what she was doing, what he started doing, what they were doing, is why we're sitting here today. 125 years ago, something that happened from one person went to two, went to more around the kitchen table, until this movement called Unity was formed. Because at first they formed the Society for Silent Help, which is, it's what Silent Unity is today, began as the Society for Silent Help before telephones. So they didn't even have telephones. They were doing this, it was energy, it was prayer, energy. So that stepping out brought us here today. Could you imagine that they had any idea what would be happening all these years later? Say, hey, Myrtle.
Hey, Myrtle.
Hey, Myrtle. So there's a saying that used to get on my last nerve, well, still does, that so many people would say unity is the best kept secret. Some of us have heard that, right? Yeah. Unity is the best kept secret. And I said, that is so weird for a place that is based and began in affirmative prayer and the power of words and continue to affirm that it's a secret. And so it's been a secret for a lot of people. And I love that you can't spell community without unity. See what I did there? Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that so much. Now, Kathy read the front of the bulletin already. But when I saw this scripture, I thought it was kind of fabulous. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Some people think we are out of our mind, which is a good thing, to be out of our mind. That's kind of a goal. But have any of you had anybody that has said, you're out of your mind, that cult, that place, what is it? The judgment? Well, this also reminded me, the scripture reminded me of a very powerful exercise we did at the recent summer retreat with Martha Creek. Martha Creek, by the way, became a verb. You mean Martha Creeked. That's Martha Creaking. By the way, she's going to be back at the end of November. Can't wait. Yeah. So, if you will be willing to participate in this, I'd like to do this exercise with everyone, with all of us here for just a moment. Take a breath, first of all. I want you to close your eyes and think of someone or something, it's probably someone that you really, really need a deep healing with. Whatever that is, someone who's brought you pain, angst, somebody's been mean. I don't want to project too much into it. If you've got someone in mind, here's what we're going to do. And please do this with your eyes closed, as if you're the only person here. And you may want to cover your ears, because what I want you to do is, using only the words blah, 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 I want you to give it everything you want to say. Don't be sweet and spiritual and nice. Get it out. Something like blah, 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 blah. So you may want to cover your ears, because some of us are in close proximity to each other. But I want you to take a breath, and with all sincerity, from the very depth of your being, give it to this person, and I'll tell you when to stop. Go. Feel like a release of anything. You can do that anywhere at any time. It depends on who you are. I mean, not who you are, where you are. You're letting out and honoring who you are. anyone hear the timer? The eggs are done. It's okay. It cracks me up when that happens. Because I'm the one that started the whole timer thing. I love when it goes off for me. Blah, 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 blah. But you can do that at home. It's a great therapeutic exercise. It's kind of the verbal equivalent of smacking a pillow with a tennis racket. But we've got to get this stuff out. Unity started with a spiritual healing. You may have had a spiritual healing by showing up. You may have had a healing on many levels. I was healed emotionally. And eventually I was ready to hear this stuff. I just wanted to be in the energy at first. So this place started with a spiritual healing. And it continues with spiritual healing and emotional healing and mental healing and physical healings. Wow, I just had a toot. When I said that, my mom just came to say, hey. And it has been 2 years today since she had the physical healing of leaving her body to go on to the next part of her journey. It's the coolest thing when that happens. So now that you've made some space, you've blah, blah, blahed your way. This was another beautiful exercise we did on the retreat. And I want to share it with you. If you will, tap on your heart space. Just tap on that place. You feel it opening a little wider. Your ribs are opening. They're making space to take more in. I'm going to ask you to hear this being written to you from God, from Spirit, from whatever name you have for that thing that is all that is. My dear, dear, beloved, love of my life, the immensity of your heart nearly blows my mind. You are all that is good, all wrapped up in one package. You're kind, compassionate, smart, funny, talented, gifted, fun, compassionate, considerate, beautiful, strong, sensitive, real, caring, honest, brave, authentic. There couldn't be another you. It is impossible. There could never be another you ever duplicated in the history of the entire world. The beauty and goodness and light that emanates from you astounds me, even in your humanity. Those moments that aren't quite as pretty as other moments. The ones that allow you to keep growing and expanding in your greaterness. I love you. I'm grateful, so grateful you were born. I'm grateful you're alive. I'm grateful for your light, your wisdom, your heart. And I'm especially grateful our lives have been brought together. I am grateful. I will love you to the end of time. And from that place, from that place, continued listening as if you were saying these words to yourself.
Protect you.
and I'll be there. This awareness, you are opening to a new and greater awareness of your true nature, of your spiritual identity, your spiritual reality. There is a wholeness that expresses as you. Quality. love, true and lasting peace, comes from allowing this love within to have full expression as we move through all of our activities, as we remember that we are here to be, not to do. And allow this truth to sink into that deeper place, a part of the very fiber of who you are. These truths, these words, as water seeps in to the soil, and they become inseparable. So it is with you and the highest and best within you. And allow yourself to simply be in the truth, in the silence.